May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Please be seated.
So you think you know about it.
You gotta figure that's what the disciples are thinking, right?
They've had this experience of Jesus, they've been hanging around with him. They think that they know him well. But in today's gospel, they experience Jesus in a way that leaves them terrified and stuttering and blurting out any inane thing that comes to mind. Jesus has been with them for a while. 6 days earlier, that reference to 6 days, they thought that they had a handle on who this Jesus guy was. Because Jesus had asked them, who do people say that I am? And the disciples said, well, you know, some people say Elijah, some people say Moses, some people say this, some people say that. And then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Christ. Right answer. Peter at least thinks he knows who Jesus is. Peter is sure he's got this guy down. But there's more going on here than Peter has fully grasped. Because Jesus immediately begins telling them that the Messiah must suffer and die. That in fact, while he may be the Messiah, that doesn't mean this is going to be a free ride to glory. Peter doesn't get it and tells him to stop talking that way. James and John, the other two Jesus takes up the mantle with them, they spend half the time in Mark's gospel arguing about who's greater. They clearly don't get it either. The notion that Jesus is the Messiah and that gets paired with the idea of suffering and death and that being his disciples means being willing to share in suffering and death as well as the glory, they haven't wrapped their heads around that entirely. And who can blame them? They certainly have had other opportunities to see Jesus in this way. Early on in Mark's gospel, after the feeding of the 5,000, which should have been a hint, they also get the experience of Jesus calming the storm and walking to them across the waves, which is, in the Jewish tradition, a clear evidence that Jesus is sharing God's power. But all this complicated knowing, not knowing, is part of them as they climb that mountain. And once again, they get to see who Jesus is. And it comes as a shock and a space of amazement. Maybe it's always that way for us too. Maybe the problem is we think in our confidence that we know who Jesus is, that we've got it all together, that we've read the biography and we've seen the History Channel series. So we know who Jesus is and we don't need to worry about that anymore. But just like the disciples who'd had plenty of opportunity, wrapping our minds around the fullness of what this means to us is actually a lot harder than I think we immediately grasp. And that's why this vision of Jesus, this revelation of Jesus sharing in God's glory, standing there in the line with Moses and Elijah representing the law of the prophets, God couldn't make it much clearer in that moment exactly who Jesus is. And then he tells the disciples, the stuttering, babbling disciples, this is my son. Listen to him. If we want to know Jesus, it's not just the recognizing his glory, it's listening to what he has to tell us. And we get to do that through the words of Scripture, passed on to us in the tradition are the accounts of those who walked with him, the theologians like Paul
who began to interpret and articulate and explain what their experience of Jesus had been. But you know what? It's not any easier for us to fully get our arms around than it was for the disciples who hung out with Jesus to fully get their arms around that. Sometimes people will tell me that they don't need to take part in Christian ed programs because they read the Bible when they were children in Sunday school. And I have to tell you, that's a great beginning. You definitely meet Jesus reading the Bible in Sunday school. But just like the disciples who thought they understood Jesus after the baptism, there's so much more to learn and hear and meet. Because what we inherit is not merely a historical account of events long, long ago, but an invitation to walk with Jesus up the mountaintop and to walk with Jesus back down again. We get to experience both the glory of God in those moments of enlightenment when we read something in Scripture that speaks to us directly, that helps us see and understand those moments of clarity in which the glory of God is revealed to us in Jesus, in which Jesus' actions make us go, oh, that's who he is. And in those moments when we're trying to wrap our head around it, when we're climbing down the mountain and Jesus is saying, don't tell anybody about this just yet because you don't yet know enough to fully get your arms around it. That's why Scripture is something we read our whole lives, because we keep having those experiences. The revelation of Jesus to us, and also the time of waiting and new revelation and new opportunities. If we think that we know Jesus, we think that we've got him, we probably have only got a tiny portion of him. Just as the disciples climbing the mountain thought they knew the guy, there's more to be revealed. There's more for us to discover. It's not always going to be easy things to hear. Sometimes it's the glory of God shining through. Sometimes it's the advice to take up our cross and follow. But the transfiguration was just one more opportunity for the disciples and for us to learn more deeply who this Jesus guy is. And there is more to come. Amen.